Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm probably not who you expected to see up here today. So as Patty mentioned, Corey is feeling sick. Yesterday, he was totally fine, and then pretty quickly got a major fever. So in making sure we were taking every precaution, he ended up in the hospital. So he is in the hospital now. He's doing great this morning. He's had fantastic care, so we are confident that everything will be great. In fact, we think he will probably come home today, so you can keep us in your prayers. That would be great. But he's doing great. We probably some pneumonia, but he's fine. We are really, I know, right? He's healthy, so that's good. We are so grateful to the staff both here and at the hospital and the urgent care center we went to. We've had fantastic care and support. We are grateful for Cindy and Marv and Marge, who have just stepped right in to kind of roll with the punches. As you probably have realized, Corey doesn't read from a manuscript his sermon. So as we're getting to about 10 o'clock last night, and we're going through tests and stuff, and it's becoming quite apparent that he will not be at worship this morning, we're trying to figure out what to do. And as he and I often kind of go through his sermons together, I actually had sort of an idea of what he was thinking, but not something that I could pass off to anybody else. So you're going to get me. It should be okay, thank you. As some of you maybe know, we actually don't have a TV in our house. And so I told him last night, like, you know, if you really wanted to watch the Cubs game, we could have just gone to a restaurant. But hopefully the Cubs fare better today. In full disclosure, you're going to get about half of his sermon today, and he'll do the other half of this sermon plus next week's sermon, so you get like a super bonus sermon next week, which will be great. Also, in full disclosure, I've never actually practiced this, so I just started looking at it like 2 hours ago. So please be a little patient and show me a little grace. So the past several weeks, Corey has been walking us through a way to look at generosity and how we are generous with our lives. He started out by looking at the why. Why are we generous? He told us that we are generous as an expression of God's generosity to us. It is our way of showing gratitude and praise to God by showing that. But we also recognize, as he gave us a beautiful quote, that we are Christ's feet and hands in this world. Christ has no other feet and no other hands besides ours. And so if we are not generous, there is incredible need in this world that is going unfulfilled. Then he looked at the what. With what are we generous? He talked about a story where he shared this idea that everything we have, all of our time, our talents, and our treasures are really just God's. They were God's to begin with. And so we are being great stewards. We are helping God manage all of those assets here, but they're not ours to begin with. And so because of that, we invest in other people, right? We continue to invest those time, talents, and treasure. Ultimately, we are laying down our own ego, our own self-centeredness, our own agenda and needs on behalf of others. We read last week from John 15, where we are commanded to love our neighbors, and the way we do that is by laying down our lives. And now, while we are not maybe going to lay down our lives in the same way that Jesus did, we can lay down our lives by showing generosity to others. So now today we move into thinking about the how. How are we generous? Again, I'm going to give you a little sort of a primer for this, but really Corey will dive into this more next week to give you some more like real ideas. But let's turn to Scripture first. So we will be reading from Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. And I think Corey had this memorized, and so I'm not sure it's going to be on the screen. So if you want to follow along in your Bible, feel free. So this story is probably one that is very familiar to many of us. And we could say that this story is at the end of a pretty bad day for Jesus. He's been traveling with his disciples for a while. He has gotten the news this day that his cousin John the Baptist was murdered. He just wants some alone time, and that's not exactly what he gets. Let's listen to the word of the Lord. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Gracious God, speak through the words and meditations of this service and give us ears to hear your word. Amen. So as we think about how we are generous with our lives, there are thousands of competing ideas. There's thousands of things to pay attention to. Every time you turn on the news, every time you open a newspaper, even when we just talk to our neighbors, we hear of extraordinary need. In Fort Collins alone, there are hundreds of nonprofits that have different agendas. They have different ways of going about tackling specific problems. And so as we are looking at all of this need and thinking about all of these options of how to attack problems, we get this sort of overwhelming feeling of, how do we know what to do? How can we make those choices? How can we know where God is calling us to be generous? There's a Buechner quote. Frederick Buechner is a Presbyterian minister and theologian. This is a quote where he's really talking about vocation, but it can be so helpful for us this morning too. And he says that the place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. Let me say that again. The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. But as we think about what is our deep gladness, what brings us joy, what talents and treasures do we have to offer, where do we want to invest? And then also, where is the world's deep hunger? It seems like there's so much hunger out there. We have to pay attention. We have to approach these questions with an intentionality, because otherwise it's too overwhelming to do anything. Corey will share some ideas, more specifically, more tangible ideas of how we might do that next week. Let's turn back to the scripture. So we hear in this story that the disciples quite literally saw a great hunger, right? There's thousands of people gathered there, and they're hungry. And they knew that there was a need. They knew that these people needed food. It's interesting to pay attention to. They first tried to attack this problem by sending them away, by saying, "Go to the villages. Jesus, you know, send them away." And Jesus tells them, "No, you're getting this wrong. That's not what we're going to do. That's not how we're going to do it." And instead, Jesus tells them to bring what they have. And they're quite certain that they do not have enough. They really believe they don't have enough. In fact, in the scripture, it says, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. Not even, we just have a little bit. We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus says, "That's okay. Bring all that you have. That's all I can ask, is bring all that you have." And then Jesus blesses the bread and the fish and gives it back to them. It's really important to note here that Jesus is not the one that feeds the people. Jesus doesn't offer the bread to them. Jesus doesn't offer the fish. Instead, Jesus gives it back to the disciples so that they may feed the hungry people. That's like us, right? We are Jesus' disciples, and it is our job to feed the people. By giving to Jesus all that they had, then there was plenty, even more than enough. At the end, there were baskets full of bread. So over the course of these few weeks, we've been hearing some testimony from people in this congregation and how they have experienced generosity in and through this congregation. We're going to watch another one of those today. So what does it look like when a disciple today discovers her deep gladness and offers the generous gift of her life, her time, her talent, and her treasures to meet a real need, a deep hunger in this community and in this world? Let's watch.
Hoskins, and I am originally from Phoenix, Arizona. My husband Matt and I moved up here about 2 years ago from Phoenix, Arizona. We have two kids, Parker, who is 5 years old, and Isla, who is 4 years old now. I am a former teacher. I chose this church, First Presbyterian, because of the MOPS group here originally. I knew I needed to find a group up here that would kind of orient me and support me as a mother and as a wife and as a person. And I'd been in a MOPS group in Arizona, and I decided that when I moved up here, that's what I needed to do. So I came up here and found this group, and Kelly, the childcare coordinator here at First Pres, said, "Hey, you should try out our church service one day." And I came in and I was hooked. And the people here have always been so welcoming and so amazing. And so my MOPS group kind of led me to this church, which then eventually led me to become a member. I decided to become a leader or the coordinator of our MOPS group because I feel like I naturally want to lead things. And I was originally a teacher, an English teacher, and I taught high school and middle school. And so I feel like I was missing kind of that part of me, that part that got up and contributed and gave back. And being the coordinator of MOPS, it allows me to be able to do that and to work with moms and to work with the mentor moms of our group and to work with the church and actually be able to contribute a little bit more than just as a member would. My kids love coming to church, let me put it that way. They love coming to MOPS, they love coming on Sundays, they love going up to the nursery, they love going up and seeing Alice and the Sunday school teachers. They pretty much have free reign of this home, this place. They feel like it's a second home for them. So that to me has been amazing because that is something I never had growing up. So to have them have that and feel comfortable and have so many people love them, it's unbelievable. Sorry, that's gonna make me cry. But that's probably the best part of this. And they know God and they know Jesus and they sing stuff, they sing songs and they tell me things, and it's just unbelievable to me. But it was one of those things that I was looking for something and I did not know what it was, and I found a church and I found a home, and that has been amazing. MOPS has been the best part of my motherhood experience other than my kids, but it has shaped me into a person that I never kind of really thought that I was gonna be, so which is really neat. So anyway.
So Carly discovered her deep gladness for leadership, for sharing her experience as a wife and a mother, for coordinating. And she shared that to meet a deep hunger for other moms in the MOPS programs, for this community to reach out to that community. And you'll notice that when she does, she brings all she has, and she gets so much more out of it, just like the disciples getting more food than they started with. So where is your deep gladness? And where are you paying attention to the hungers of the world? Next week, we'll explore with Corey some of those ways to really think about how to discern those. But for now, we are thankful for the witnesses of disciples then and now who show us through their stories, through their lives' examples of how we can find a match between our gladness and the world's deep hunger. Amen.